Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, "Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart."
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, glad to say it. Back on my feet after yesterday's threats and pretty much beating.
What happened yesterday?
Maybe
the start of the show yesterday.
The Bills should.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Take it slow with Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
You threatened violence at one point. I didn't take it seriously, but other people did. I decided not to pursue it.
Okay. Well, do I have to... I have a... You got a sheet of paper I can rustle? I have a very, very thoughtfully worded statement to read on the matter.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
If anyone was offended... That's it.
I apologize.
I apologize. Only if you were offended. Otherwise...
No, right. That's how you do it.
Otherwise, get out of my hair.
Someone doesn't mean it.
I don't have any time for you. Or doesn't realize that what they said was actually offensive.
Yeah, they just don't get it or they don't mean it. Like,
yeah.
If it comes with the qualifier, if you were offended, I'm deeply sorry.
Right.
But, you know, that's not the same as just saying you're sorry.
Right.
It's only if you're upset. If you're upset, yeah. I don't want you to be upset. So I'm glad things are better. For myself.
Me too. I didn't realize I should know better. You know, all of our actions have consequences. Mm-hmm. I almost said that backwards. That would have made no sense. All of our consequences have actions.
I guess I feel a little bit fortunate that.
Can we start over?
You didn't have like just sort of that. I didn't compound the problem when I suggested that the Sabres would beat Washington in a playoff series. Or it'd be, you know, kind of a coin flip for me.
Yeah.
You didn't like that either.
No, I don't think that's very realistic.
Unfortunately for all of us, we will never know. It will not be happening.
No.
So there's no way to know if, like...
Wait, they're not mathematically eliminated, are they?
I guess not. I guess I would have heard if they were. They're not, though, right?
I don't see a little X by
the... You got to go through... all the other teams' schedules, because they might all play each other enough times that
They might be close. Yeah. Closer than it might just sort of look on the surface to being mathematically eliminated. But, you know, you've got a kind of a Washington team that's got the lucky stuff right. Shooting percentage, they're first. Save percentage, they're like fourth, I think. Usually a recipe for disaster in the playoffs after great regular seasons. And enough people still, even in 2025, accept you as like a great team that it's still funny when those teams lose, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I'm not at all predicting they're going to go on a run in the playoffs. I just think they would kick the crap out of the Sabres.
Well, Detroit did.
Right. Part of the reason why I think that.
I guess I have to go a little slower today with stuff about how the Sabres, there's a good team in there. I mean, after that game. But anyway, I'm not trying to get into a conversation on them because what's left to say? I was thinking about it this way, though.
they did defend one another last night, so I think we should be happy, right? That's good.
Oh, yeah. Thrilled.
At least some of them did.
Mostly, anyway. Right.
Yeah.
The thing I was going for here that's obviously really, really strained effort is, well, it'd be nice to know what a series would look like, Washington and Buffalo, just to be able to know, right? But we won't be able to know that, so your opinion is going to just be the best we can do. Here's something else I would like to be able to know, and I think it's unlikely that we will get this, but there's a chance of it, and a part of me, I have to be honest, is kind of hoping what the Bills would be without Cook. Like, if this went all the way, which it probably won't, because they always get these things done.
Yeah.
If this went all the way, I'm not playing for less than top five money, whatever it is he would need, and the Bills just held firm.
Mm-hmm.
What would happen?
Like, assuming he doesn't come in. Like, he just says, I'm staying home,
yes,
and that rides through the entire season.
Let's right? just...
Doomsday scenario.
Let's
sure.
just talk it
right,
out.
Right. I also don't think that that's going to be the outcome, but I do think it's possible that the Bills draw a hard line because they have the footing to do so. They have another year on a contract and a franchise tag if they want it. Like, they don't have to be compelled to do something. They could just for harmony's sake. Anyway, if it got to that doomsday scenario.
How doom is the doomsday?
I don't think it's even cloudy.
I don't think it's anything.
I think they're probably, you know, they probably don't score. You know, they don't have a running back who scores 16 rushing touchdowns, but Josh Allen probably throws for six or eight more and runs for four more, and you're probably home. And you know, whoever the running back is chips in with six or eight, and they don't shoot touchdowns.
There you go. Next question. This seems really important.
That's not a very hard puzzle for me to do, but you know, I'm coming. You know where we're coming from, a very similar place on that. That you know, part of the reason why you balk at paying guys the top dollar as it is because you probably can find a guy that's going to get you similar results. You know, and I know there's plenty of things currently in the league. This was an easier thing to say before last offseason, and even now early in this offseason with the Eagles doubling down on Barkley and giving him even a raise to, I guess, reward him for the great season he had last year. I still don't think their results would have been vastly different with, I don't know, one of the running backs they had before they got Saquon Barkley running the ball. I don't. I don't think that guy would have gotten close to 2,000 yards, probably, but I don't know how much it really mattered.
I think, saying that, I think that's a team where it'd be harder for me to assume they would be as good offensively. So that's like a little bit different for me. Because, I mean, Hurts is not Allen. Their offensive line has been great. He's good. Brown and Devontae Smith are good. But you saw what the difference was 2023 to 2024 for Philadelphia. And they went from a team that, like, what's the problem? Their season kind of fell apart. Not to say, like, that's all on DeAndre Swift.
Right. But that's what I'm waiting to say is I don't think that had anything to do with who the running back was. But, okay.
But sure. They didn't. But Barkley afforded them... You know, just the big plays he made. He did all that with the tush push still being a thing, and he could have scored 10 more touchdowns without that if he's on a team where the quarterback isn't, you know, automatic on 1 yard to go plays. So running backs don't matter. Is it just completely black and white? it's not completely black and white. That was a team, I think, that got better. I mean, you have to say that. You have to say that they got better for having him and that it was a meaningful difference. Maybe do they win a Super Bowl anyway? Maybe they do. Best roster in the league, right? But he was like the number one part of that, I think, the story went last year. So
I don't know. I still want to push back at that story. I don't, and I love stories.
You do.
And I love running backs. I just don't, I don't know, man. It is an important distinction that their quarterback is not the passer that Allen is, although he's had plenty of monstrous games, including in the Super Bowl they lost 3 years ago, Hurts. So, you know, he's definitely excellent and an MVP type player, candidate anyway. But yeah, I guess you could argue they have more business being a run centric team than a team with Josh Allen as their quarterback. And that's a part of the reason why I'm not crazy about paying a running back the top of the market.
So
I never have been.
You wouldn't, though, go as far as to say, like, to my kind of, like, again, strained premise, things that we'll never see but we wish we could see. You don't want to see this happen. You don't want to find out.
No,
a part of me does. Mm. Like, let's just see what happens. Some of that, I think,
well, I have a curiosity about it, too, but I you're not saying you're rooting for it. I'm not rooting for it. But there's a curiosity there. Sure. Anything that you say as regularly as we both have said things like this on the radio, you want to see them taken out for a spin.
I guess. If they do, they do.
To some extent. Like, does that work? Am I falling face first in it? Or is this, you know, can I peek out and go like, I kind of thought that would happen.
Right. Well, there's that little ego element to it.
Right. Right. That's the extent of the curiosity for me, I guess.
Part of it for me is that it's like pre-draft season, and I'm running all these fantasy drafts and having the Monday podcast where we're talking about a lot of these rookies, the combine that just happened, and I'd kind of like to find out if whoever you want, it wouldn't be like a top two round pick. The Bills would never do that. Even without Cook, I think they would probably not do that, maybe. But they have him. So they're not going to draft Omarion Hampton.
Well, they did draft Cook in the second round.
They drafted Cook in the second round where they didn't have somebody that had done what Cook has done.
Right.
So, but that's right. That was the very end of the second round. So, I don't know. Like, I would doubt that, but maybe. The guys that, though, like, Bishal Tootin had this athletic freak show combine, and I'd never heard of him before. And now I kind of just wonder if maybe there's somebody sitting there in the fourth round that would just come in over the top. I kind of thought, having said that, last year that Ray Davis had some chance at that. Not right away. There was no way after the season prior that Cook wasn't going to be their number one going into the season. But maybe, like, if he dropped the ball again and just was not like a red zone guy or anything, two rushing touchdowns the year before, maybe Davis would come in and really look good and work his way into like the lead role. That did not happen.
No,
Cook gave there no chance for that.
I don't know that I ever said it in exactly this way. I don't know, there's no need to say it because it turned out to be wrong, but if I had said it this way, With Cook coming off of that season he'd had and the style of runner Davis was described as, I might have thought Davis would end up with more rushing touchdowns than James Cook last year.
Yeah.
They're going to use him at the goal line. He's the hard inside guy, and like that might be the role they drafted him for, and it obviously did not happen. So I agree. I thought the door was maybe open. I think last year. Now I don't. Well, now it could. The only reason it could be is if the Bills have a plan in mind that includes drafting one of these guys on Saturday. Because I think with the depth of the running back class, the way it's being described, I mean, it obviously would depend on which guy they landed on. All these guys are not the same. But I would trust they could find someone that they feel like matches somewhat, anyway, Cook's skill set. And if they wanted to do that, like that's a power move. That's a, oh yeah, tweet a few more times about how much money you want. I'm not, again, that's like a step towards the doomsday scenario. And I don't predict that they will do that, but they could. Like, they have not said anything that indicates that they're the least bit bothered by how any of this has gone so far.
No, and they wouldn't.
And that's to their credit. The first chance we'd see of them demonstrating that they're not happy with how this has gone so far would be that. Like, they draft a guy, like, because they just re-signed Johnson. They've got Cook from last year, Davis from last year, Cook, presumably, and, you know, here's Darrington Evans, too. Like, their running back room looks like it's all set. So if they drafted someone, like, really, more all set than I would have said last year, because last year at this time with Ty Johnson on the roster, he had not really shown out to the extent that he did last year. Like, I feel like he's a known and to be valued commodity now for them. Like, a role he plays, I think that's written in ink that he'll be that guy for them.
But when, what is that again?
Third down, okay. 2 minute drill, out of the backfield guy, pass blocking. Like, he's their passing down running back, I think, even ahead of Davis. So,
man, they got 28 touchdowns from Cook, Davis, and Johnson.
If they were to add someone, I think the only, and I don't have to be right about this, I'm assuming a lot here, but if they drafted another running back, the alarms would go off, I think. The chief reason they'd be doing that is they're preparing to go to the mattresses with Cook.
I don't know. Would it? Depends on when. If they did that in the fourth round, would you feel that way? I mean, they drafted one every year. Right? Singletary, Moss, Cook, Davis.
Right, but they've never had as clearly defined roles for the guys that are already on the roster. Cook has ascended to being the number one running back. Johnson has taken hold of that 1B, whatever, third down role. They've got Davis as the primary backup. I think other years, they were still searching. They were always searching for this pass-catching guy. They traded for Nyheim Hines. They tried to sign McKissick. Is that the name?
Yeah.
Okay. And, you know, they ended up drafting Cook that year, right? Does that all line up?
I think so.
Yeah. So I just think they're more all set now than they've ever been since Bean and McDermott have been here. Because Cook has outperformed Singletary pretty comfortably, I'd say.
So what's the cutoff? Like, they have two picks. Yesterday they added picks. If you have two picks in the fourth round, if they did that, that's for you, like the freak out sign?
Yeah.
What about pick 169? They have three picks between 169 and 177. I would kind of predict that one of those would be a running back if they hadn't picked one already. Just because it's so deep this year at that position, and, you know, why not? Whatever positions you're drafting then anyway are, you know, break glass kind of picks, and just you're hoping you get a Benford or somebody out of that. So with the extra picks, especially, or round six, I do think running back is this way. It might be the only position in the sport where if you drafted a guy in the fifth round, you could talk about him as your starter.
Yeah.
Tampa did it. I mean, they had Rashad White, who the analytics people didn't like him. Like, he wasn't efficient, but he produced for Tampa 2 years ago. They draft Bucky Irving in, like, on Saturday. I don't know what round it was exactly, but four or five, maybe five. They drafted him on Saturday, and he just was great. And by the, you know, by week 10 or something, Rashad White was, like, forgotten. So, and that team went to the playoffs. So I think this year is deeper than last year was supposed to be. Tyrone Tracy for the Giants was this, just took over right away. The Giants backfield, not a good team, though. Is there another position where if you drafted a guy there, you could really, really talk about him starting as a rookie? I mean,
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. And I shouldn't be so quick to dismiss the idea that they could find. I mean, what do they really owe Ty Johnson? I mean, they re-signed him to a 2-year contract. But if they found a guy where you're talking about, or I guess even in the fourth round, okay, let's make it the Ray Davis round if you want. that they like the skill set and there's great value there. And maybe he could win the job that Ty Johnson is doing for us. They could do that and not have it be a line in the sand, like some definitive step toward we're going to fight tooth and nail for James Cook. But it will be hard, to ignore that part of it if they don't settle the Cook thing by the draft. But they could bring competition in for any of these other spots too. That's not unfair. I'm probably overreacting to the idea of them drafting a running back at all.
Dylan Sampson, 4-4-2, Tennessee.
Talk to me, baby.
Dylan Sampson, I am.
All right.
Bishel Tooten. There's so many of these. I am immersed in that world right now, and I'm probably being sort of shaped by these names. I talk to Davis and Pat every Monday on ADP Chasing, and they're like, oh, Harvey. Who's Harvey? RJ Harvey? You know, they like, there's another guy with four letters. I'll get it. Just, there's all these guys they're so excited about, athletic profile, what they did in college and everything else. And everybody kind of says, you know, Chris Trapasso included, that this year is deeper. So why would the Bills not, you know, because of James Cook, who's not that big. He's 3 years in now. He wants $15 million a year. You know, Davis was fine. He wasn't great.
No.
He was fine. Johnson is good in a smaller role. I get that, you know, logic. But I've got 10 draft picks, and maybe there's room for a rookie to take a crack at.
What have you heard
Devin
about,
Neal.
What have you heard about Ollie Gordon II?
Mixed.
All right. He's big. That's why I mentioned him. Because, like, you know.
But these guys are going on Saturday.
Are you right? If you're looking for a different style, right? A different body, a different back, then, you know, a bigger guy is maybe some idea to consider. I don't know. That's why I even mentioned him. I don't know anything about him other than I see he's 6'1", 226.
All right.
That's enormous compared to the running backs the Bills already have.
Jordan James is one where I think maybe he was productive but didn't do as well in Indy. Anyway, the names really don't matter. The body types matter more than the names, probably, what you're looking for. I'd love to know what the result would be, you know. Like you don't want an injury or anything. I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But if Cook really does want to challenge me, I'm up for it. I mean, we say all the time the Bills have not had like these sticky sort of contract issues, but that's not to say they couldn't or shouldn't. It's not to say they should avoid them at all costs. It's not to say that they shouldn't, you know, have their principles and...
Right. If they really don't believe in it, then they shouldn't do it.
Right. That's a good motto in life.
They should not sign a contract with the player that they, you know... Should it hurt a little? Yeah, probably. You know, like you're not going to get everyone you want at exactly the price you want. So there's got to be some bend there. But you absolutely, I'd be stunned if they signed a guy, any guy, to a contract where they're like, man, I can't believe we went there. I just can't imagine them doing that. So if Cook leads them to that position, then I guess we'll find out exactly how steadfast they would be in their beliefs, if they even have those beliefs. I mean, we don't know. They've never had a running back tested, really. I mean, not only have they not had any problems with any players, but like Devin Singletary never rose to the level where you'd be, like, the team even. I'm sure guys on the team loved Devin Singletary and how hard he worked and all the stuff. But he was not so important that you'd look around the room and go like, man, I can't believe we didn't take care of that guy. Cook, I think, is there. I think guys on the team would be looking at each other like, I don't know about this. Why did we not do right by this guy? So... You know, they could. This is some level of a test.
Yeah. And I'll be a little bit bummed if it's just like tomorrow we walk in here, oh, it's done. I want to see. I want to play it out a little bit. It's too smooth this way. Just pay everybody. Right now, this year in free agency, everybody's got all the money. Here's $36 million to Josh Palmer. Like, that's the kind of year it is. So why wouldn't Cook just sort of be in line to get his piece? Sal Capaccio coming up next. Some of the new players, if not all of them, are speaking out at the stadium today. We'll run through that with Sal, maybe talk about this topic also. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 4, Sam Paniatovich. And later on, Brian Koziol will join us a little bit on the Sabres and also the Players' Championship. What is more spring is here than the Players' Championship if you follow golf? And it just probably helps that it's nice out here. I'm sure I've watched this tournament at home when it was snowing out before.
Yes, me too.
But not so much this weekend. Thanks for listening. Again, Sal next here on WGR.
I'm just excited to experience something new, something different. We have a chance to do something special, and Josh texted me that, you know, that if we do what we set out to do, we could really be immortalized in this town. And, you know, that's what it's all about, is winning a championship. And that's, I think, why people are here.
Joey Bosa
is on the Bills now.
He's on the Bills. I love all these times where, like, the new guys get to the press conference and they're like, Josh texted me. Does he have everybody's number? Does Allen just... Who does he go to the Bills for that number? Or does he have every... Is there like a book?
That's a great question. I'll bet it's just something PR does. You know, like someone over there or an assistant or whatever would you know, new guy, depending on your profile. Like, I don't know that the safety from Washington gets Josh Allen's number, but you're a star in the league.
Poor guy.
Forrest. To single him out, but Palmer, a receiver, Bosa, a star in the league. You're at a certain level here. Yeah, here's the QB's digits. I think, like, that's, you know, or maybe Allen seeks that out and, you know, doesn't ask for everyone's number.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Numbers, but like goes to PR and says, hey, give me a number for this guy, and this guy. I want to reach out.
I bet, though, teams must have all the numbers. You know, like at the draft, they call the guy that they picked.
Right.
There's got to be like a a spreadsheet, you know, with every college player's phone number, right?
I wonder if they get special phones just for the teams, get special phones just for each draft, that they store all the players they're interested in that phone, and then afterward, like, that phone just is, whatever, it's on a, it's on a pile.
Somewhere, somewhere is all the numbers.
Yeah.
Joey Bosa, got it, right here. Yeah. Here's a text. And then just anybody can text him? Or no, maybe you just have to ask. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But there's always this gets said.
Yeah.
Yeah, Josh texted me. Maybe they're friends.
That could be too, like prior to even even signing. But yeah, I don't think it's a hard thing to facilitate through the team. At all. So
when you're Allen,
right?
Yes. Hi, this is Reed Ferguson. I'd like to text Joey Bosa. Is Brandon in? what happens?
They hung up on me.
Hello. Sorry, Reed Ferguson. Nothing personal.
Hung up on me. Yeah. Same.
Nothing personal.
Same as.
Went to the long snapper.
Right.
Hi, this is Joey Camarda. I'd like to call Josh Palmer. Can that be something? Will you allow that? Well, Joey, you get four of these a year. You sure you want to use one up today? So Sal is out at the stadium. Joshua Palmer is speaking now. And when that wraps, Sal will jump on with us. Do we want Russell Wilson in Cleveland? Where he's visiting today, apparently.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't know if there's a better spot for him, like a spot. Like, I'm not going to be worried about him wherever he goes. So you know, Cleveland's fine. Pittsburgh maybe would be better. Like if he ended up back in Pittsburgh
for what?
Just
for them.
No, just for the rest of us.
Okay.
I think, like, you know, like, are you a threat? Although, I mean, I don't know. They won a lot of games last year with him, didn't they? How many games did they win?
Pittsburgh went 10-7.
10-7. Okay,
that's Fields was some of that.
Not really a lot, but yeah. I don't really. I gotta say, short of the curiosity of Rodgers, I feel like everyone that's still out there is ineffectual.
Yeah,
I don't feel like anybody that lands any of these. Well, who? It's really Rodgers and Wilson at this point, right? Is there someone else?
There's Cousins, but he would have to be traded,
right?
And the latest word is that he won't be. They owe him $10 million on Sunday if he's on the team, and the reporting on that has been that they're prepared to pay him.
Yeah, that seems smart. Well, okay, so even him. I don't feel like there's, oh no, the Steelers got blank. Oh no, the Giants got blank. Oh no, the Browns. It does not matter to me. I don't think any of these guys. Rodgers is probably the best of them, I think, but even he is not, to me, capable of playing at a high enough level to really be a threat, even with all the fancy new receiver and everything else in Pittsburgh.
Mason Rudolph to Pittsburgh today. And Mac Jones to San Francisco.
Finally.
Two quarterbacks who have started one playoff game against the Bills. Mason Rudolph and Mac Jones.
That's pretty incredible.
There are 25 quarterbacks who have started exactly one playoff game against the Bills. There are seven who have started more than one.
Which do you want first?
I'd rather have the 7 than the 25.
The 25 could take a while.
Who are the 7 quarterbacks that have started more than one playoff game against Buffalo?
Dan Marino. Is the Super Bowl count as a playoff game? Okay,
yes.
Troy Aikman.
Correct.
I need some more teams here. I was gonna guess someone, but I had to talk myself out of it.
Can you say who?
Boomer.
Okay, no, that's one. You're right.
Right.
Boomer Nix. Oh, Boomer Esiason.
Boomer
Nix because he's older. Get it?
This is harder than I thought it would be.
I think there are two tough names and the rest are pretty gettable. Well, maybe three. But there's two you should have gotten by now that you haven't mentioned. Respectfully. Because they played them this year.
Oh. Okay, yeah, Lamar Jackson. And Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Mahomes and Marino have four playoff games against the Bills, which is the most. The other five guys with more than one have exactly two.
You can tell the way I started doing this.
You went
starting
back
in the 90s.
You went back.
So I wasn't even thinking. I'm looking at the teams, and I'm not even thinking about the Chiefs or the Ravens.
I might have done the same thing.
I'm going, Dan Marino, look at me. I'm old.
But, you know, like I think I would have done the same thing. 88 to 90 through 93, six seasons, the Bills were in the playoffs every year. They won at least one game every year but one. Like, that's a dozen or so games or more. But really, like, the last 5 years is more than that.
They beat the Steelers in the playoffs after the greatest comeback and then lost to the Steelers 2 years later. Are both of those Neil O'Donnell?
Yes.
Okay.
So you only have two more. Neil O'Donnell, right. 92 and 95, I think. Seasons.
Right, right. That's right.
Both are in, the other two that you haven't gotten yet are from the same years, same era. So, as it happens, five of the seven names were from those years. You wouldn't
have been.
You know, you weren't wrong to go back there.
There's probably two Jay Schraders in there.
No.
Okay. Oh, there's two Hostetlers in there.
Right.
Hostetler with the Raiders in the cold, icy game, right, in 93 season.
Right.
And of course, the 51-3. The Super Bowl. Sorry, Super Bowl 25. I'm thinking about Schrader again still.
Schrader was 51-3.
Right. So now there's one left.
Yep. Right in that same period.
Oh, Warren Moon.
Warren Moon. Seven quarterbacks have started multiple playoff games against the Bills.
88 and 92. Yeah.
Correct. Mahomes, Marino, Lamar Jackson, Neil O'Donnell, Hostetler, Aikman, and Warren Moon.
Okay, now everyone put your feet up as I list the other 25 who started exactly one playoff game against the Bills.
I'm looking at the list.
Jay Schrader.
Jay Schrader, correct.
Mark Rippon.
Yeah. Terry Bradshaw.
Okay, right, sure. Dan Fouts.
Those were consecutive Bills playoff games. 74 and 80.
Okay.
Or 80, 81.
Bernie Kosar.
No, 80. Yep.
Steve McNair.
Music City Miracle.
Mark Brunell.
Yes.
Is Richard Todd the quarterback?
Yes.
The Jets in 81 or 80,
yes,
whatever year that is?
81 wild card.
Okay. Is Chad Pennington the Dolphin quarterback in 98?
No, Flutie, Marino.
It's Marino still? Oh, shoot. All right.
How about Joe Montana?
Right, of course, the Chiefs. Who's the Bengal quarterback in 81? Is Anderson?
Ken Anderson.
Ken Anderson? Okay. Wow. John Elway. Deshaun Watson?
Yes.
Is there another? That's not how you're not ticking them off. Are you here? How close are we?
You got most of them. I can name the ones you haven't mentioned.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and do that? I don't know. I can't think of another Steeler guy.
All right. There isn't another Steeler guy.
Okay. Well,
working backward chronologically, Bo Nix.
Oh, right. Sure.
Rudolph.
Yes.
We mentioned him. That's why.
That's kind of where we started.
We started there. Burrow.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Skylar Thompson. Philip Rivers, Blake Bortles. You said that. You said all these. Steve DeBerg. And then to the 60s. You got everybody else. Len Dawson, John Hadel, Tobin Rote, Babe Parilli. Well, the Chargers had different starting quarterbacks those 2 years.
Those are some names here.
And John Hadel.
All right.
I wouldn't have gotten Babe Parilli. That's the 63 playoffs. I think the game's at Fenway Park.
All right.
Should we break? Or should we just keep going? Keep going. Oh, they love it when we just keep going.
They love it when we keep going. I think that's because we got Sal on the Western Hotline here.
Oh, yes. Let's not break now. Sal is with us. Sal, busy day. Busy day.
Yeah, very busy day. And, you know, these things are always, you're kind of always at the whim of when they're happening, right? We don't really know because we're just like, hey, you know, there's like, we're going to have these guys that the Bills, they're signing and sign their contracts, and you got to wait for them to get to town. Mm-hmm. They sign their contracts. They meet with coaches. They meet with, you know, teammates. They're walking by someone's office. They get stopped. So we never know when it's going to happen, but we just heard from pretty much every addition, I believe, except for Darrington Evans and Michael Hoyt. I don't know if Evans will talk to us at all. That might not be someone that they're going to trot out there. Hoyt will be tomorrow.
Most interesting comment. I like some of what I heard from Bosa.
Oh, my gosh. He was great. I had a Chargers reporter on, Fernando Ramirez, and he said, Joey is great in front of a camera and microphone. He said, but he's super dry, his humor. He's got dry humor, and he's just this guy, like he's kind of deadpan. And that's exactly what you got today. So you know, he was spot on. I mean, he said some funny things, but he said some things that just like the way he talks, it's kind of interesting. And listening to him, he was very, very much a straight shooter and just kind of revealed. And you know, he said that I love the quote of the – I think the money quote of the day was he said – Josh Allen texted him and said, if we do what we set out to do, we will be immortalized in this town.
I think that's right. Right? I mean, I mean, Allen's already well on his way, but, you know, a Super Bowl obviously cements that. And everyone who is a part of it, even if they just got here, you know, might become immediately statue eligible. All right, I'm exaggerating a little, but that's a great way to be immortalized, statue. I mean, I've said a few times, Sal, if they got to the Super Bowl and won it, there'd be a statue of the James Cook touchdown against the Chiefs, with the hand on the ground and extending the ball out. Like that'd be Bobby Orr scoring the goal against the St. Louis Blues for us. But you know, it did, and now it's just a really cool play that we'll probably forget about.
How was Palmer?
Sorry, guys, just starting on my car. Palmer was very good. He's he was really just kind of – he was much more like – you know, these guys, like, their personalities show up a little bit. And he was much more soft-spoken, very thoughtful in what he said. You know, he's from Canada. Sorry about that. He's from Canada. This is what happens. I get in my car, everything starts going haywire. Sorry. There you go. I like that 80s song. I had my 80s music on. Anyway, Palmer was very thoughtful. You know, he's from Canada. He grew up there. His dad played college football in Canada, but then he moved to the United States, and ironically, I didn't know this until I went through the bios that the Bills sent out. He went to the same high school as Joey Bosa, St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale.
Florida.
He was teammates with Nick Bosa. How about that? Now, Joey, by the way, in case fans don't know, Joey Bosa is the cousin of Jake Kumerow. Joey Bosa's dad played for the Dolphins 87, 88, and 89. He talked about playing against, you know, his dad played against Jim Kelly and, you know, Thurman and those guys during those years, which is crazy. And, you know, Palmer, you know, spoke about their relationship and playing with Nick. He played with Nick in high school, and they played with Joey, the Chargers, and now Joey with the Bills. As far as just the way he spoke, you know, he said his biggest, like, thing he takes the most pride in is being able to run the entire route tree. And I thought that was interesting, just translating that to the football field and what the Bills need.
I really liked from him, I don't know if this would how many people this appeals to, but I like it when guys don't try to convince you or sort of pander or patronize the fan base. And right. Palmer being asked about, you know, growing up in Canada, saying, I thought I was going to play basketball. I really wasn't a Bills fan. I like that. Like, it's very easy to just come in here and just sort of, you know, Bills Mafia, get me a table and all the stuff. And, like, I'm not saying guys don't mean that when they do it, but I appreciate a guy that's willing to just be real. Like, I really didn't pay attention to football when I was growing up in Brampton.
Yeah, he said as you just mentioned, he was more geared towards basketball, and even in high school that was kind of trending like that. He also said he doesn't really follow hockey very much. He's not a big hockey fan. He said that at the very end of the press conference when someone asked him. But he is a Raptors fan, and now he's playing for a football team whose minority owners include Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. I wanted to ask you, we talked a little bit about the Cook situation here, if it can be called a situation, at the beginning of the show, about Ty Johnson. We really haven't gotten into that. It did happen that the Bills brought him back. So would you be, this was a debate we've had in here today, would you expect them to not draft a running back this year? Would you expect them to do it? They've done it every year. It's a deep class. They have 10 picks. What would it mean? Maybe it just sort of down the middle, if kind of the way I'm looking at it, if they drafted a running back, say, in like round five.
It's a really good question, Mike, because if you're the prediction of their drafting a running back, I'm on the fence because I don't think they need to. I don't think it screams like a position they're going to do. But I wonder if they just want to have more insurance with Cook. And that might be why. And the reason I say that is they're literally at the exact same number and names, exactly, right now, mm-hmm. of what they were going into training camp last year. There's no reason to draft a running back.
Right.
Unless maybe they just feel like they need a little more insurance, right? I mean, I don't know. And I'm not saying if they draft a running back that, oh, my God, that means they're getting prepared to trade James Cook or he's going to hold out. I'm not saying that at all, but I don't see a reason or need to do it based on how they normally operate, the numbers they bring, and who they have on the roster. With
right. Well, and what is especially different, Sal, it's the same group, but the roles off of last year to me, and I realize like there'll be training camp and preseason and things can change, but I think, assuming Cook, you know, gets here, you know, eventually, like they settle that one way or another, I think the roles are all pretty defined at this point, right? Like, Cook is your number one guy. You got Ty Johnson. He's third downs and passing situations and two-minute drill and all that. And Ray Davis is the backup, basically, to Cook. And, like, last year we didn't, like, I know Ty Johnson had been here already, but I didn't feel like, to me, he was the equal of Darrington Evans at this time last year. Now, I'm glad they brought him back because I feel like there's a role there for him and he excelled at it and proved to be valuable. So just plop him back in that same spot. And so, I don't know, like I'd have a hard time avoiding feeling like they're getting some sort of Cook insurance here if they picked a running back, because not only do they have the bodies, but the bodies all sort of fit in a spot that they should feel pretty comfortable about, I think.
Agreed 100%, and I'll take it even a step further, Bulldog, and say, and these guys, like two of them aren't rookies anymore, and I'm counting Frank Gore Jr. on the practice squad who had a nice preseason. Like, they all are guys they know. There's no wondering of who you have. There's no, where does this guy fit in? You know their skill set. They've been here a year. Let's run it back. It's literally like, it's amazing to me. I'm doing this, like, I have the spreadsheets where I look at, you know, I have the roster, and then I did today in and out. The Bills have literally made only two changes, and if you want to even call it that, to their offense at all. And that is Josh Palmer instead of Mac Hollins, and they added Darrington Evans. Everything else is they don't need to. They have an entire offensive line group coming back. They have an entire wide receiver group coming back outside of that Palmer. And then the entire running backs and, of course, quarterbacks. So everybody, they know who they are. They're just going to put them right back in their roles. Somebody asked me today, why would Darrington Evans even want to sign here? Well, Darrington Evans was here too, and injuries happen. He has the same skill set as Ty Johnson, so it fits that, you know, you have a guy like that. You're going to go to camp with 90 guys, but honestly, you might not even need any more than what you have on the roster right now at running back.
Right, you said it. Evans was really already here. I mean, he's been here before at least, so he's not yeah. brand new either. Derek Forrest, the safety Buffalo sign from Washington, what do you see his role being? Is he competing for a job? Is he special teams? Both?
Yeah, I think he competes for a job. I put him as a long shot to really be a starter. He'd have to really kind of blow them away, I think, at camp and fit into the system. As you guys know, we talk about a lot. You know, I mean, it's challenging for any new player to come here to start that position. They really like guys who know the system, who they can trust and rely on. And that's a big reason I think they brought DeMar Hamlin back. You could do a lot worse. I know people love to just, you know, bang on DeMar Hamlin and, you know, say, oh, my God, like, he doesn't need to be on this roster. DeMar Hamlin's costing $2 million a year. As a fifth-year player who was a starter for you, you could do a lot worse as a veteran safety for DeMar Hamlin. And now you have Derek Forrest who comes in who he's going to have to learn the system, and I don't know if he has any crossover with other, you know, terminology and stuff, but he is a guy I think that you can definitely put on special teams, let him kind of fit into the system to figure out where he belongs, and then he'll be one of those guys that you turn to in case of injuries and emergency. And Look, I think that they really want Cole Bishop to be the starter, but they don't. You can't hand it to him, as Sean McDermott said.
Right.
And you got to have him go out and earn it. And that's why DeMar Hamlin's back, too. And you got to have a little insurance there. And you got a guy who at least has been in the league a few years as well.
Yeah. I think you got to. It's maybe a couple of steps removed, but crossover is maybe Ron Rivera.
Yes, that's exactly right. And thank you for mentioning him, because he did say that Ron Rivera. He knows Ron Rivera gave a very good recommendation to Sean McDermott about him. So you're right, and I'm sure that there is some, like you say, crossover there, so that's good. It's like, to me, it's like, when you think of it in that term as Bulldog, I remember Mike Edwards last year. Like, okay, Mike Edwards played Steve Spagnuolo's system and Todd Bowles' system, who are both very similar to Sean McDermott. So I bet you this has the same kind of feel to it.
Did I see Dane Jackson last night? Did that happen? Or did I get got?
Here's what happened, from what I understand.
Okay.
Remember last year when Dane re-signed, or 2 years ago, whatever it was, last time he re-signed a contract with the Bills?
Okay.
Somebody found that tweet and retweeted it.
That's what I saw. Okay, sorry. All right.
That's okay. But I want to make sure I say, that doesn't mean it can't happen.
Right.
You know, we just had this debate in the media room. Matt Bove asked me, he said, rank, this is a good question. He said, rank these guys most likely to return. And he had Dane Jackson, Rasul Douglas, and, man, I can't think of who the other one was. And I said, I think Rasul first and then Dane. He had Dane at top. And a lot of people believe that that, like, could happen. I'm not saying it can't. But I think that, you know, but right now it's not happened. Who knows? Maybe Dane Jackson does come back. They do like their guys who know their system. You know who else is out there? And I'm not reporting, like, or saying that I think the Bills are interested in bringing him back, but I do know, because I talked to him after they played him in the playoffs, and he said he'd be open to a return to Buffalo, and that's Tre'Davious White. Now, I'm not here predicting it's going to happen, but there are a few guys out there who do know the Bills system.
Mm-hmm.
Sal, anything else?
I think that was it. No, I think that's it, guys. We'll have everything. I sent everything into Zach, so if anybody wants to hear all these interviews, obviously, you know, we'll have everything for everybody at the website, WGR550.com, and on the app.
Was there some thought that maybe there'd be Brandon Bean today, but no?
He might still talk. We have no idea.
Okay.
So if that happens, we'll have it for you as well. But it's kind of up in the air. He's working. It's one of those deals where it either could or it couldn't. And if it does, who knows what time.
It'd be funny if he just sort of sat down at the podium but didn't speak. Just sat there and people asked him questions.
Or
he just never said a word.
Or came out and spoke after everyone had gone home.
He's not available.
And he just comes out and just answers questions that he has in his own head.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. But as we always say, keep your head in a swivel. You never know. It might get Brandon Bean today.
One other name that I thought when you mentioned Tre'Davious White you were going to mention, but it doesn't really cross over to McDermott's time here, but Stephon Gilmore is out there still too.
He is, and he's an interesting guy. I mean, he's an older guy, but he's still been successful in the league, and he does have – I think he's very good at both systems, meaning man-to-man and zone. He can still play both. And, you know, that's an interesting guy. I wonder if that's somebody that they would revisit. Suddenly, guys, corner two has just – starting corner has become kind of the most interesting spot on the Bills for me. I have no idea what they're going to do, but it's such a critical spot, and it's such a need right now that I'm fascinated about what they could do.
Right. We don't have Douglas signing anywhere else yet either.
That's
so.
Exactly right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sal, thanks.
You got it.
That's our man, Sal Capaccio. Spent the day out at One Bills Drive listening to New Bills Free Agent Editions talking. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Coming up, Sam Panayotovic. I mean, it's college basketball season right now. I mean, just absolutely. We'll see what Sam has to say about the upcoming tournament. What happened to Duke, their best player, Flag? Turned his ankle today, and maybe it's not super serious, but I know Duke was a team, a favorite, a team that Sam's been high on. I see you, Colonial Downs opening day email announcement. DK Horse is knocking on the side of my head, wants to make sure I don't forget about it. We'll talk some NFL as usual, too, with Sam. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.